I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Despite having a resume of starring roles in both films and television, Tamala Jones still went into her audition for a new ABC pilot. That audition called for her to say one line, yeah, one line, in a show called Castle. You may have heard of it. She took that one line, booked the show, quickly became a series regular, and is now an integral part of the show. How cool is that? I talked to Tamala about how she got her start, that one-line audition, and how she gets that medical dialogue memorized. This site takes a lot of work, so I really, really appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Tamala.
So, you started out as a model. How did you transition into acting? Did you always want to pursue it?
I always want to act. So, while I was doing the modeling stuff, I was always going to an acting class or an acting workshop. And the one I ended up staying in the longest was this workshop that everybody was in. Brittany Murphy, Seth Green, Jamie Presley, Bobby Jacoby. I mean, we were all there. And it was Ernie Lively's acting class, who's Blake Lively's father. And, you know, they became managers and started managing most of us in that class at the time and got us great agents. And we started just going to work, doing little guest stars here and there. And once I started acting, I kind of like put the modeling down a little bit and focused more on acting. And it just kept going. And I kept working and I'm here.
They helped you out a lot, right?
Well, yes, they did. They helped me out a lot. Do you remember the show, The Wonder Years?
Oh, yeah.
Jason Hervey, who played the older brother on there, his mom and which is Scott Grimes' mom, they were managers.
Yes.
And they were also friends of Ernie Lively. So when they became agents, Ernie took over the management, and they became our agents. So kind of like this was a whole compound type of thing in that acting class. And it worked out for the best because those two mothers really had a lot of connections in this business because of their son. So to get us out, and they're still working and are great agents. And I send people starting off over there all the time. And they work. They work. These women are powerful, secret power, and they're fantastic. And if it weren't for them and Ernie Lively, I don't think my career would have shot off as smoothly and as it did, because it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I was on my way. It was really weird, but great.
What was your favorite character to play?
My favorite character to play was a NBC made-for-TV movie. It was the Little Richard story. And I played Miss Lucille. And I loved that role because I love period pieces. And it was, you know, during the time where they had beautiful dresses, full circle skirts, and the makeup and the glamour. And I loved it. And I also loved it because I got to know more about Little Richard. And he was there the entire time we were shooting. It was such a huge treat. But that was, you know, I know I've done other great things, but that was like my favorite thing to do.
And do you prefer TV over film, comedy over drama?
I like them both. I just love performing. I love acting. I love being able to make people laugh and cry or think about something. I just love... I'm a ham. I like being in front of people and entertaining people.
You've appeared in so many like great shows and films, and you obviously have a huge fan base. Is it still kind of a struggle to get parts or audition for parts or for projects you want to work on?
I think it's always going to be a struggle to get parts that you want. You know, I'm at a certain point in my career where things do get offered to me, and I've taken some, and some are just not worth going into because I've done it a million times already. So I need to grow out of that and try to broaden my horizons in this business. So the things that you want, you're always going to have to go and audition, and it's never going to be easy for you to just say, oh, I want that, give it to me. You know, even Halle Berry for Monsters Ball had to convince Lee Daniels that she could play that role, and that was something that she wanted. So it's about the things that you want and what you're willing to do, how hard are you willing to try to go in there and make that happen. Even in Fargo, my guy, what's his name, William, he's on that new show, Shameless.
Oh, yeah, William H. Macy.
Yeah, okay, that's my man. Oh, my God, I can't believe I forgot his last name. He is, even for Fargo, I listened to an interview he was talking about, and he was like, I went in there to audition for another role, and they were like, why don't you go out and read for this? And he read for the lead role that he ended up getting, and they left. They were like, they didn't tell him anything. They went to New York. He flew out to New York and told them, you're really going to mess your movie up if you don't put me in. It was something that he wanted, and he made sure that he let them know that. And that's all they really want to know. What are you really, how far are you willing to go to bring us this character that we need? Because most of the time, they don't really know what they're looking for. They just know that this character is like this on paper. But it's about your passion and this. So it's always going to be a rough road to get what you want.
Now, let's talk about Castle. When you first auditioned, that part was either, I think it was a guest star or a recurring role?
Yeah, it was a guest star with a possible recurring role.
Gotcha.
If the show got picked up.
So how did you go from that guest star role to a full-on series regular?
This role was not written for an African-American actor. And we knew the casting lady, and she had cast me a million things before. So she allowed me to come in. She checked with the producers and allowed me to come in. I think I was really the only black actress in the room. And this is one line.
One line. Wow.
Aren't you Castle? Rick Castle? Oh, I'm such a big fan. And that was like, that was it. And then once I got the job, I got like two more lines to make sense of my character. And I was just cool. I didn't come in with a diva attitude. I didn't really know any of those other people. We shot the pilot out of New York. We had a great time. I knew Ruben Santiago from Lackawanna Blues. And that was the first time I'd met him, so it was a treat. And I just had a good time and was warm with everyone. And Donna, who plays Detective Beckett, she and I had been out in New York for a while. And we needed some underwear. And we went to Victoria's Secret. And the kids that worked there recognized who I was. And Donna was like, who are you? And I was like, I've done a lot of urban movies, a lot of, you know, they know me from those movies, a lot of comedy. So she goes back and tells the producers, and they're all talking about smash cut to the show being picked up. It's a whole other pilot season, and I'm still auditioning and about to go test for another show. And I think it was the influence of Donna letting them know the star power that, quote unquote, I carry, and just how cool and laid back I was, not absorbed with it. So they, you know, we called and let them know that I was going to test for something else when we heard the show got picked up, and they said, no, you're not. You're going to be a series regular over here. After, I'm sure, looking at my credits or whatever that helped them make the decision, but I truly believe it was a combination of my attitude, my work ethic, Donna saying what she saw, and them going and doing their research on who I was, because they didn't know either. So at the end of the day, I really think it's about being professional and having a great personality. I think that gets you a long way. It's really just being cool and humble with everyone.
And, you know, back to that, one-line auditions are the hardest things ever to do.
They really are. because you don't have a lot to work with.
Exactly.
You've got that one line.
Yeah. So, now, when, you know, going from that one line, then they gave you a couple more in the pilot, how did you go to that to creating a full-on interesting character?
Well, I call it the Jaleel White Steve Urkel package. You know, he was only supposed to be a guest, possible recurring actor. And he went there, and he had something in his mind that he was going to do with this character, and people liked it. And once the show aired, they loved it. The fans loved it. So that's what happened to him. He was just a serious, a recurring guest star with possible recurring and two taking over the show. Now, I definitely don't want to take over Castle for that. Ooh, that's a hard show to do, you know, 8 days of shooting. But just to be a part of it and for them to keep involving me and keep making more out of my character is such a huge plus. And I definitely credit the blessing of God and also the sense to know that being a professional and showing up and doing your work and not letting all of the Hollywood glitz and glamour affect you in a way that you can't be a good person, you know. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And, I really love the people that I work with, and that's not always possible. But I do. I love them. I mean, I cook for them on the set sometimes. I'll come up there and like, I made spice gumbo, or I made, you know, the whole crew, everyone. And they do things for us, too. You know, they sign us, get Starbucks to come down there and get us coffees and make whatever. And you've got Andrew, or we all love Mexican food. So they'll get the taco man who comes out there with this, what is it? That's cast iron, and they're making their tacos and their burritos, and we're out there lined up around the corner, like doing on break. I mean, we always are doing things for each other, and I think that because everyone has that humility and that energy of, I just want to do a good job and make the fans happy. It's not about me. It's enabled us to all call each other a secondary family and really love each other. And if I were not there, it would be like a piece of the family missing. And vice versa, if anyone else wasn't there that's been there from the beginning. So I think that love plays a major hand in my presence there as well.
And I think when you're comfortable on the set and you like everybody so much, it sort of frees you up, too, when you're in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, and one of the things I do know about the showrunners and the producers is they all worked together before on various projects. You know, Andrew Marlowe and Armin Bernstein, who's our top executive producer, he's Beacon Films. They did The Hurricane together. And Rob Bowman, he's X-Files. I mean, these guys have been working in this business and doing things together for so long. And they were able to reach and get the groups of people that they had worked with. So I'm talking about the crew members, the makeup, set dressers, the set designers, all these people that they had worked with, you know, for so many years to go back and get them. We were just, as far as the actors, adopted into their family. So it's your energy, how positive you are. And when you're positive and you synergize with positive, you energize with positive. And I think we have something really special, because it's genuine.
What is it like to work with a different director on each episode of the show versus the same director throughout a film?
I like it, and we rotate a few directors that that they really love and have worked with before, and then we have some guest stars. Directors that are new, and you get to just learn different techniques and the way that different people see things differently. You know, we're used to Brian Spicer, you know, shooting a scene this way, and then we get another director come in, and it's the same sort of scene, let's say the crime scene or whatever, and their camera angles are a lot different than Brian's would be. So it's like two brilliant minds working different ways and giving you amazing results. And, you know, I want to direct one day, so I really pay attention to what the directors are doing and the camera angles and what's the most important thing to get out of the scene. And I think it's great. It's definitely a learning experience for me, and I'm sure everyone else, to work with different directors throughout the season.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like broadens your character, too. They give you things that other directors that are usually there, that, you know, don't give you because they're used to seeing you there. And they're like, okay, now do that Laney thing, or do that Esposito, or, you know, try this. But when you get a new director there, they give you different things that they've seen watching the show that they wished you would have done or you could have done.
Uh-huh.
And it's great. It really is.
The struggles of learning the technical medical dialogue. You're also awesome at just getting those words out of your mouth.
If they only knew. Do you understand? Like, it took me a while to get the rhythm of having to spew it out in such little time. It has to be fast, and you have to, you know, pronounce your words properly and really know what you're talking about. So I go to the medical encyclopedia dictionary and I'm looking up words and what they mean and how to pronounce them, and if I don't get it, I'm at work asking, what is this, how do you say this? I'm watching Dr. G Medical Examiner, I'm watching Forensic Files, I'm watching the First 48. I am everywhere, but then I have to get it into the lines that they've written, and those guys that I work with, they're so patient with me. And I finally got it now, but when I first finally got it, they gave me a round of applause because I was stopping and starting so much. They're like, "Yes, we got it!" It was a celebration, and I was so embarrassed because, I mean, it's a lot of pressure, you know. But you have to get it out, and you can't say, I can't do it. You have to do it. And that's why I love playing Laney, because Laney's definitely a challenge as an actor. And you never want to get comfortable doing one thing as an actor. You always want a great challenge. And she's that for me, so I really, really enjoy playing her. And yes, it is difficult to learn all those terminologies, but once you figure out your rhythm on how to do that, and mine is singing it or rapping it, I can get it down after I learn what I'm talking about.
That's interesting. Singing it, that helps you memorize it, the singing part?
Yes, because it's so wordy. Like the other day, I said, it was like I was saying the time of death in one sentence, and the next sentence after that was the cause of death. And what I'm saying after that. So the time of death fits robbery, but I was saying cause of death fits robbery. I was kept flip-flopping it. So I was like, time of death fits robbery. He was killed at 11:15. Hey, sing it with me, y'all. And then he starts singing. I got to start singing the song that I'm making up so I won't mess up. It's the craziest thing, but it works.
I'm going to try that next time because sometimes I have the hardest time memorizing. I'm definitely going to try that.
Yeah, I love music too, so I figure if I sing it, maybe I'll be more comfortable in just getting it out, and it works.
I'll do it, and I'll tweet you and tell you how it went.
Yes, please do.
My final question to you is: what's your advice to actors?
Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up, and yes, you're going to hear no a lot, and you're not going to like it, and no one likes to hear no. But somebody one day is going to say yes. And when they do, that's your foot in the door. The only thing you have to do after that is get the rest of your body through there. And getting your foot through the door wasn't easy, and neither is getting the rest of your body in there. Like right now, I'm not fully through the door. I got half my body in there. Get the whole other side through there, you know? It's a struggle. But nothing in life worth having comes easy. And if you really, really want this, you really, really have to want it and not give up. I mean, it's like, not like you haven't heard no before.
True.
you know, you just have to stay at it and really do everything that you can to improve and take the construction criticism and know what it is and how it can help you versus someone just sharing a crappy opinion about you. It's a difference. Constructive criticism versus crappy opinion. You got to learn how to decipher the two.
Yeah.
And some people, they're going to be jealous because maybe you got it and they just never could. And there's some people that are going to be able to see what you're capable of and what's inside of you. So you got to learn what information to accept and what information to let go. But keep going and don't ever stop.
Thanks, Tamala, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, columns, and resources. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.